This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. 17-year-old Kyle Rittenhouse is facing charges for shooting and killing two people and injuring another during protests in Kenosha. Rittenhouse is from Illinois and was openly carrying a weapon at a protest in Kenosha Tuesday night over the shooting of Jacob Blake by Kenosha police. Rittenhouse was one of several people carrying firearms at the protest. Openly carrying firearms is not illegal in Wisconsin, but doing so during a protest after a curfew is put in place brings up a lot of questions and legal concerns. Tony Cotton is an attorney in Waukesha, and he joins me now to help break down what is legal when it comes to open carry laws in Wisconsin, when police can intervene, and how this issue intersects with people's First Amendment right to protest. Tony Cotton, welcome to Lake Effect. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So given all the events in Kenosha as of late, let's start with the basics. What is Wisconsin's law when it comes to carrying weapons?
Wisconsin is an open carry state. So under Wisconsin law, people who are 18 years or older are permitted to carry weapons in a visible fashion. Wisconsin also has what are called CCW laws, concealed carry laws, which are separate and distinct from the open carry laws. A concealed carry permit can be obtained by someone, and if a person has a CCW permit, then they can carry a firearm in a concealed manner.
And to open carry, you also need to be at least 18 years old, correct?
Correct. You have to be at least 18 years old, and of course, you can't have any of the other prohibitions that would prevent you from possessing a firearm, like being a felon or somebody who's convicted of domestic violence and things like that.
Right. And we will note that Kyle Rittenhouse is 17 years old. He was recently arrested in the killing of two people gunned down during the third night of protests in Kenosha. So when it comes to cities or counties regarding open carry, it's a statewide thing. And cities and counties cannot make laws on gun possession that would then conflict with the state's open carry laws. So do things like declarations of curfews, for example, like we've seen with protest, or state emergency orders overrule or have any impact on this?
They don't overrule the state open carry rules as they exist or laws as they exist. Does it have an impact? I suppose it could have an impact if individuals respect the curfew order that's in place, but if people don't respect that order, and they're outside, that person may be violating the curfew order. But if that person has a open possession of a firearm, that person would not be running into any conflict with state law for possessing that firearm, you know, just because there's a curfew order in place.
Okay. So with events in Kenosha, it has been confirmed that the shooter from Tuesday night traveled from Illinois. So how does that factor into things?
I'm not licensed in Illinois, and I really don't know Illinois laws, but as I understand it, there's probably a few problems on his end. One, of course, is just simply being 17 years old and walking the streets in Wisconsin with an open carry firearm. That in and of itself is illegal. Crossing state lines, I don't know how he transported that gun. I'm going to assume it was transported in a concealed way. It'd be hard not to. If that gun was transported in a concealed way, then he would be violating the CCW, the concealed carry laws in Wisconsin when he came here. There may also, frankly, be federal laws that he's violated because he crossed state lines with a gun that definitely was manufactured in interstate commerce. So there's those aspects of liability that I suppose are, frankly, probably the least of his concerns, given the murder charges they brought against him, though.
Right. And in Illinois, open carrying a handgun on your person or in a vehicle with or without a license is also illegal. So that adds a lot of factors complicating things.
Right. I mean, he's got a whole host of problems, but I think those things probably pale in comparison to the homicide charge.
When people are open carrying during protests, whether they're with the protesters or anti-protesters, what, if anything, could police do to intervene when someone is openly carrying a weapon? And we'll stick to Wisconsin here, obviously. You know, especially during circumstances such as this, when there are protests and curfews and things are heightened and you have someone open carrying, even though it is legal, you know, when can police step in?
Well, I've been a lawyer for 15 or 16 years now. And I remember when I first started practicing, the question was always, it was sort of an unresolved question in Wisconsin. Candidly, it seemed very clear that you could open carry, but it really was an unresolved issue. There was, people would not do it. People certainly, if they did do it, were being arrested and charged with disorderly conduct. It was happening all the time. And 2010 or so, somewhere around there, 2011, they had that changed. And the rule basically became, or the law basically became, that if you possessed a firearm and were open carrying and not doing anything else, it wasn't a problem. What the police could choose to do in these circumstances is, when people are part of a group, if the group is peaceful, protesting peacefully, not looting businesses, not burning things to the ground, if people are just walking around with firearms, it would be really hard for law enforcement to justify an arrest of somebody who is simply just walking around with a firearm. You know, but that's not what we were seeing in Kenosha. What we were seeing is a very high level of violence, at least as I understand it, by some of the protesters. And if those people are affiliated with groups or individuals who are open carrying, it wouldn't surprise me to see law enforcement arrest those people for disorderly conduct while armed.
Right, because of that law passed in 2011, police have to prove that there is a criminal or malicious intent behind it, right?
Right. So, you know, people who are, you know, if the group, so to speak, I'll just say the group, you know, if a group of people are looting or burning a building to the ground, and somebody that is even tangentially connected to that group has a gun in an open carry state, law enforcement certainly could arrest that person. Whether the charges would hold up, that's a totally different story. And of course, there's also the practical considerations that I think every law enforcement agency is thinking about right now, which is, does the, you know, it's a very low bar to arrest someone under Wisconsin law. Officers only need probable cause to believe that a person has committed a crime. So it's a low bar. But the practical consideration by law enforcement is, if we do arrest people, you know, whether the charge is strong or weak, might we be throwing more fuel on the fire, so to speak?
You know, I imagine tensions are high, and you add someone open carrying, no matter how uncomfortable people may be, do you think, because of factors such as this, that things really need to escalate before police would weigh that risk and step in?
Yeah, well, we saw, unfortunately, in Kenosha, I think that, I don't know the full story, and the full story matters in every circumstance, but you know, clearly the police were not enforcing that curfew order. And it seems that one or more people were walking around with firearms, and those individuals were not being arrested either for disorderly conduct while armed or for violating a curfew order that was lawfully passed.
So the National Guard has been sent to Kenosha, and the Guard is used to support local authorities in circumstances like ongoing protests. So when it comes to the National Guard, can they take any action when it comes to apprehending or making arrests in these situations, whether protests or open carry?
I don't believe the National Guard has arrest authority. At least I've handled federal cases and state cases since I graduated law school, and I've never had a case where the National Guard has arrested somebody. We don't really have citizen arrest concepts in Wisconsin. You know, you hear about that phrase in other states. We don't really have a history of citizens conducting arrests, and I don't think the National Guard really is going to play that role. I think they're going to be more in a defensive role of protecting property.
So we have seen people openly carry during protests before. It's not just been here in Kenosha. It's also happened in Milwaukee. So if there is a protester or observer, you know, who sees someone open carrying and they're made uncomfortable by that, is there really anything they can do?
I think the best thing they can do is just get away, because I think people who are joining protest movements and are openly carrying firearms are, I don't see that as a tactic that's going to reduce tension. And you know, then from a legal perspective, you also have the concerns of party to a crime liability. So if you are near somebody who's possessing a firearm and you're part of that group and you're part of the protest, might an aggressive prosecutor or a police officer, if they did choose to conduct mass arrests, might they argue that you're a party to that crime in some fashion? Is also a concern that people should be mindful of. I live in Wauwatosa, right on the border of Milwaukee. And so we see protests all the time, and there's protests that literally, one of my offices is on North Avenue in Milwaukee. We've had hundreds of people protesting up and down North Avenue, shutting down traffic. A few weeks ago, I marched with a group just as a sign of support for the Black Lives Matter movement. And when I was marching down the street, one of the protesters was open carrying a huge assault rifle across the front of his body. It was something that I didn't even really see it until just the guy walked past me. And it was, you know, I'm not very familiar with guns outside of my professional requirements that I have to know about them to defend certain cases, but it was surprising to see. And what the Wauwatosa police had decided to do was allow those activities to occur. The Wauwatosa police were not shutting down these protests, even though the people were acting, I think, flagrantly unlawfully at the point that I left the protest, when they started shutting down North Avenue, setting up camp in the middle of the road so traffic couldn't get through. And Wauwatosa made the decision, the police department made the decision, that we're not going to throw fuel on that fire. We're not going to arrest somebody who is carrying a firearm and committing a criminal act by shutting down a major thoroughfare in the community. And so, you know, I think that's each police agency is looking at it and trying to decide how they should handle things.
And how did you feel being close to someone open carrying?
That's right around the time I got away from the group, because it just made things feel way too militaristic, way too, the tension level just rose considerably when people started seeing that. And I'm sure the guy wasn't a felon. I mean, he's doing it so brazenly. I'm sure he's lawfully possessing a firearm, but any person with a basic level of common sense can see how quickly something like that can escalate. And the last thing I wanted to do is be anywhere near somebody marching down North Avenue with a rifle strung over his chest.
Right. And we have seen things obviously escalate, is one word for it, in Kenosha over just the past few days.
Yeah. And law enforcement's under the gun right now, as we're seeing, because the whole reason Kenosha is the epicenter is because of the shooting that took place, you know, a few days prior to that. So law enforcement's got tough decisions to make here. Do they do what they probably want to do and think they should do, which is arrest people who are flagrantly violating curfew orders and out there causing havoc? I think every cop in that force, every officer in that force probably wants to arrest people and bring law and order to the community. But at the same time, will that escalate things further? And now I think, unfortunately, what we saw with this 17-year-old who committed this shooting, I don't think anybody expected that something like that was going to happen.
When it came to not just the 17-year-old, there were other people open carrying in Kenosha as well. And that's one thing. But where does the law stand when someone brandishes and uses open carry with the intent to protect property, even when it's not their property directly? So this shooter, he crossed state lines. Other people have traveled to Kenosha to take part in protests or to open carry and claim that they're there to protect property. But obviously, it's not their businesses. They don't live there. Where do things stand legally when it comes to this?
It's really, that's such a multifaceted question. I mean, so I think the best way to answer that is to say that Wisconsin law certainly permits a person to brandish a firearm to defend their property. So somebody starts coming to your business and they're going to torch it, or they're going to enter and they don't have permission to do so. You can certainly brandish a firearm to repel that behavior. You can use a firearm if you are suffering the risk of death or great bodily harm as a result of some aggressive action towards you. Defending property is a really tough call, though. Actually, about 15 minutes before our interview, I just fielded a call from a business owner in Kenosha who was asking me that exact question. Can I, myself and my friends or colleagues, can we use firearms or brandish firearms to defend property? And while you might lawfully be able to display a firearm in order to repel an attack against your property, again, that can escalate really quickly. And we're in a climate right now where it would not surprise me if the Kenosha District Attorney's Office, which has a reputation of being an aggressive prosecutor office, it would not surprise me if their position became, we're just going to prosecute anybody who discharges a firearm in these circumstances. We're going to start arresting everybody. We'll figure it out later, or we'll let a jury figure it out. Were you defending property or defending your life or fearful for your safety, or does the Castle Doctrine apply? I think their attitude is going to be, we need to stamp this down. We need to arrest anybody who's using firearms in any way. And I think that, you know, they'll let it get sorted out down the road. So the advice really would be to anybody, honestly, the best advice from a criminal defense perspective, trying to avoid criminal charges, is get out of there. You know, lock yourself in your home. property is property. Unfortunately, as awful as it is to see your business destroyed, you're better off being in your home. And if you want to possess a firearm, possess it in your home. And if somebody tries to come into your home, the Castle Doctrine allows you to shoot them if you want to.
When it comes to these outside groups coming, saying they're protecting other people's properties and businesses in Kenosha, while they think they're doing the right thing, does that hold any legal ground?
I mean, I think it's a harder argument to make to a jury down the road or a prosecutor's office that I came from another county to defend some other person's property. You're going to generate less sympathy from those who make decisions of whether or not to prosecute you, and jurors that may have to decide whether you're guilty or not guilty, than if you are the actual business owner standing at your doorstep warding off a mob. But I don't know that if there's a legal analysis here. I think there's a practical analysis that sort of trumps the legal analysis.
So kind of similar in this regard, on Tuesday afternoon during a press conference, the Kenosha sheriff said that he was asked by a group of people with guns if he could deputize them. Can you even do that legally?
I don't know whether you, I heard that too. And I heard the response, which was, I think he said it would be insane to do that. The liability would be insane. And he's right. The liability would be crazy. So even if, does the law permit that? It might. If it does permit that, it's probably a relic from the 1800s when that type of behavior used to actually be necessary to preserve order in the Wild West of Wisconsin, as it were. But no, I mean, that's not a modern day concept that's going to be happening. And people who are asking for that are, they're watching too many movies.
These events bring together a lot of issues, but also a lot of legalities, a lot of people's rights into question. So how do people's First Amendment rights to protest coincide with or support Second Amendment rights?
Well, those are two very distinct concepts. So the Bill of Rights wasn't, as far as I know, drafted in order of importance. In other words, I don't know that the First Amendment was first because it's more important than the Second Amendment. I haven't heard that argument. I think that, you have the right to protest, but clearly government also has the right to impose reasonable restrictions on time, place, and circumstance to restrict people's First Amendment rights. And so it's widely known that you can restrict people's First Amendment rights when circumstances warrant it, especially when there's violence and there's unruly mobs and things like that. Second Amendment rights, it's a similar concept. You do have an individual right to possess firearms, but of course that right is and has been tailored considerably over the years. And there's millions and millions of Americans who lawfully cannot possess firearms because government has decided, politicians have passed laws that, if you've been convicted of disorderly conduct with your spouse, domestic violence crime, your gun rights are gone forever. You commit a felony, second offense, possession of marijuana in Wisconsin, you just became a felon, you lost your gun rights forever. So government has and can restrict each of those constitutional rights. The interplay between the two, when you see the protests, is really interesting because you do see people who are possessing firearms in the context of demonstrating peacefully. And I think that's why, if you go back to the example I had of just here on North Avenue, when I walked a few blocks with this group, that's exactly what I saw. The person possessing the firearm was a peaceful person. Nothing got looted, nothing got burned, no shots were fired. And Wauwatosa police were literally a few hundred feet down the road, as the protest would move a few feet, the Tulsa police would move a few feet. I mean, so they just kept a distance and they monitored it. And I think the police behavior demonstrated a respect for people's rights to protest coupled with their rights to open carry firearms. I think law enforcement demonstrated considerable restraint, proper behavior, and they allowed those constitutional rights to be exercised, notwithstanding the law violations that eventually occurred.
Right, and obviously this is an ongoing situation and we'll see how things develop, but Tony Cotton, thanks for helping us break down some of the basics here.
Thank you.
Tony Cotton is an attorney in Waukesha and the former president of the Wisconsin Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers. You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at wuwm.com.